The Australian Bureau of Statistics estimates that more than 1.2 million Australians have experienced domestic or family violence. Under some proposed IR changes currently before the Federal Parliament, Australians experiencing domestic violence would be able to request flexible work arrangements from their employers. The full suite of amendments to the Fair Work Act doesn't have the support of both sides of Parliament. But advocates say changes to the way employers handle domestic violence really can't come soon enough. Ludo McFerrin is National Manager of the Safe at Home, Safe at Work project, and she argues that including it in the Fair Work Act would help both employers and employees. Ludo McFerrin, welcome back to RN Breakfast.
Oh, thanks, Fran.
The fact that the federal government is willing to consider domestic violence under the Fair Work Act is hugely significant in your view. Why? What's the significance of it, the import of it?
Well, the importance is that the vast majority of women experiencing domestic violence are in paid employment. And it's critical for those women, if possible, to stay in paid employment. It's financial dependency that often keeps people trapped in violent relationships. So the whole move in Australia in the past 30 years, 40 years, has been towards supporting people through this crisis and engaging the whole of community to support people to do that. And the workplace is just a vital part of that support network.
Is it a part we haven't really, though, most of us thought about much? Because I think when we do think domestic violence, we think about people in their home life, in their personal life, not so much the impact of them in their workplace.
That's right. I think that we've tended to also think about domestic violence as a product of social disadvantage, economic disadvantage, or particular cultural groups. Look, the reality is it's going to happen to about a third of the population at some point in their life. You're probably working with people who are currently experiencing domestic violence. And for some, and we did a big national survey on this, for some, it will affect their capacity to get into work, so it'll affect their attendance and absenteeism. It'll affect their work performance. They'll be distracted, unwell, anxious, depressed, and it'll actually follow them into work in the form of abusive phone calls and emails, or the abusive person actually turning up at work. And that affects not only the individual, it affects all their co-workers as well.
Tell us a bit more about this big national survey you did. How widespread was it? And can you quantify, for instance, that the issue on attendance and the issue of the incidents of people turning up at work and bringing the abuse to the workplace?
We conducted it in 2011, so it was conducted by the University of New South Wales. We surveyed 3,600 working people. Of those, nearly a third had experienced domestic violence. Half of those said that it had affected their capacity to get to work. That was through injury or being physically restrained, things like childcare arrangements not being honoured, so they were left at home with the kids. Of those that had experienced domestic violence, one in five said that it had followed them into work in the form of mostly abusive phone calls or emails, or the abusive person going to work as well. And in a recent survey that we did, that figure's actually risen to over half. So I think when you put it on the agenda and make people aware of the issues, then we're going to see much, much more reporting.
So what is it that you want to be passed as part of the Fair Work Act, which is currently before the Parliament? What is the amendment, and what would it mean for workers who are experienced domestic violence?
Well, what we've been doing for the last 3 years is working mostly through enterprise bargaining to introduce what we call a domestic violence clause into agreements. And that's been very, very successful. The unions have been logging that progressively. The ACTU has taken a very strong position on that. And a lot of employers have really come on board. The latest was the National Australia Bank. And they took their own initiative on this, and so a quarter of that has been some paid leave. Now, the paid leave is just an incredibly practical thing, because if this is now affecting you getting into work and doing your job, if you haven't already got some legal protection, you absolutely should be seriously thinking about it. Now, that means going down to court to get an order that protects you, the kids, your home, and your work. So how do you get down to court in usual working hours? And that's what the paid leave's about, just to give a few people a few hours off to get down to court. Now, what we've found with this paid leave is that it's huge. People aren't taking huge amounts of leave. They're just taking very small, critical amounts to do those very important practical things that they have to do. Through enterprise bargaining, we've now got about 1,200,000 people, working people in Australia, covered by those, but we've still got 10 million to go. So the point with the Fair Work Act was to try and get some recognition and protection through the Fair Work Act that would immediately affect most Australian workers. And the right to request is great, but it will also really, trigger for employers the need for a lot of resources and information and support to understand how this can affect their staff and how they can support them.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 8:30 here on RN. We're joined by Ludo McFerrin from the Safe at Work, Safe at Home, Safe at Work project. In terms of the, you say already 1 million people are covered or have this entitlement, does the research indicate the impact this is having? And is one of the impacts not just that the person who's the victim of domestic violence might have some leave, but is it making it easier? Is it taking the lid off this a bit in the workplace? Is that one result?
I think that's one of the best results, actually, that people are reporting to us that they are incredibly relieved to be able to talk frankly and honestly with their employer or line manager or supervisor about what's actually happening in their lives. I mean, these are people who would normally be excellent workers, very punctual, meet all their deadlines and everything, and suddenly things start going wrong and they start to, they're late to work, they're distracted, their work performance is really affected. And when the managers are saying to them, what's the problem, they're saying, no, nothing, I don't want to talk about it. Because there's, unfortunately, and it's a terrible thing, there's still a lot of shame about this, and also people are frightened about losing their jobs, and we do have, unfortunately, quite a lot of examples of people being let go because this is a problem. I mean, there's an infamous one, a woman working in a club behind the bar who was being harassed by her ex-partner. Now the club sacked her because she was allowing, quote, her private life to affect her work. Now, that's not what we expect to be happening in Australia in 2013.
Okay.
The better response there would be for the club to say, what can we do to protect you? You're an employee, and, it's really very similar to how you'd react if you had an abusive client or customer harassing one of your employees.
Ludo McFerrin, thank you very much for joining us.
That was my pleasure. Thank you, Fran.
Ludo McFerrin is the National Manager of the Safe at Home, Safe at Work project, and they've currently got these amendments or lobbying for these amendments in the Fair Work Act, which is before the Parliament, though some large chunks of this Act are likely to fall at the final hurdle because in these final days of this Parliament, it looks as though some of the independents will not support the government, and the opposition is opposed to some elements of this too. It's 27 minutes to 9.